What's good, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What's good? What's good? It's Marcus or Pink.
What up? What up? It's Charles or Chuck.
What's happening, everyone? You got Matt or Has bringing it in another week of Tweak Talks. I was trying to rhyme week and tweak. I couldn't do it. I'll do better next week. What's going on, everyone? What are you looking at your cats, Gavin?
Let's go, Tammy.
Yeah, she just jumped on the bed.
She's doing great. She's killing it recently. She's been healthy for those who are keeping up with the podcast. Yeah. Many things we need to keep up with. Kevin. Wow. my worst intro ever. Gavin's cat's health. Marcus's car. Is it there? Is it not? We don't know.
Hold on. Car check. Car check.
Car check is good. The car check is great.
Tiny been hitting the gym, being healthy. Yo.
Tiny's killing it for real.
She recently had a vet appointment for... All right, she has diabetes, before I explain too much without saying that. And yesterday or the day before, she had her best 24-hour period of her blood sugar ever. In her vet appointment, she's lost 3 pounds. One or two more might be ideal, but she's pretty good now. And
to say that, she's sitting right there. She can hear you.
We're hoping for remission, basically, and I think it's possible because she's had diabetes for less than a year, and the doctors were impressed because they were under the impression that it had been a while, but it hasn't, and she's already made so much improvement. So, yeah. Good job.
It's really good, dude. I know, especially for cats, it's really hard for them to lose weight when they like put – because – like with a dog, you can like walk a dog more, like make it extra. Like a cat is just going to be like, you can't like, I guess I'm sure there's some cat fiends out there that are like, oh, you totally can walk a cat or like training now. Like it's learned, you know, they chill. Like that's all they do. So you guys are, that's all on you guys. Be yes. Mostly, obviously.
Yes. You help. Thank you so much to be like the diet, the shots every 12 hours, the vet appointments. It's expensive, but it's been worth it. Because she's doing well, and she's happy. She's happy.
Well,
yeah, not what I expected to talk about at the start. We're going to be talking about Smash Bros, but
eventually.
Marcus, your car?
Car's not there, bro. It's tough. Like, car's gone.
What?
Yeah. Again?
No, Stace has it. It's just nothing hit around.
It's accounted for, though.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, car is there. Little man's sick. I feel like he's always sick. He has his 18-month appointment tomorrow. Goodness, year and a half. I know. Bro is getting kind of old. Like, I'm getting old. Like, bro is kind of getting up there. You might have to start working soon. Contribute like, to this household or something. Yeah, he's not feeling great. So, but otherwise, I'm gonna ask him tomorrow at the. At the 18-month visit, like, hey, why he always sick, man? He's gonna be like, because it's diet. I'm like, oh, my bad. Right, that's all me. Yep.
Charles, what's going on?
We're so close to being done with this first renovation. And, let's dude, go. All I gotta say is, dude, sometimes I'll look at all the work we've done and I'm like, fuck, this house looks fucking amazing. Like, I'm nice with it when it comes to construction. So I'm very proud of how it turned out. Honestly, I wish I was fucking living in that unit. We got like brand new appliances. Like the oven has like an air fryer in it. I'm like, damn, this shit is fucking nice. Ooh. But yeah, I mean, it's almost done. Probably going to be done within this week. We're just kind of touching up and getting like all the finish work done. So super excited about that. And then on to the next renovation. But yeah, I've been doing good. And then what's up?
That I don't think I've ever heard Chuck brag. Like
normally, he is nice with it, bro.
Yeah. Normally he's like, like my commentary is pretty good, like you know. But that construction, yeah, I'm nice with it. I was like, oh, okay. Like,
hey. You know what? His line about commentary is, oh, I was much better in Smash 4. Is always what he says. That's his go-to. I can tell you exactly what he says. Yeah, well, I just like tried harder in Smash 4. Like I was on the grind more, and you know, I played more, so I just knew it more. And I was in SoCal, as you guys know.
I also thought I was like pretty nice with it in Smash 4. I wasn't like crazy, but I was like pretty good.
He was nice with it.
That's pretty good.
He's doing it right now. He's nice with it. Yeah, you're a nice commentator, Charles. Stop it. I love casting with you, actually.
Oh, dude. I always think back on that one quadcast. I was like, damn, I don't think anyone could do a better quadcast than what we just did. That shit was insane.
That shit was fire. We woke up determined that day. I don't know what it was. It was the Canadian tournament.
Battle of BC.
It was Battle of BC. That's right.
The one where we did the live activation. I think it was 5. I'm pretty sure it was 5. Yeah.
Yeah. And they flew us out. That was a really fun tournament. Actually, my banner from Twitter is from that tournament when we did a live, the live podcast.
Oh, your banner picture is good.
That was a good one.
It's so good, dude. I love that tournament.
Japanese players on for a little bit. Like,
that was so fun. We got to do more shit like that, man. I don't know. That was like the golden era of Ultimate to me. I mean, obviously, we're at that point where it's like, kind of hitting maybe the end of the game's life, so like whatever. Like, I still love Ultimate. I still watch it every weekend. I still watch weeklies, like all that shit. I still love it. But that, like, going, I don't know, like just going to tournaments and the podcast was hitting a stride. Like, that was all a very different era. It feels like we're at episode 176. We're coming up on 200. Can you believe that shit? Oh, that's crazy.
A little off topic from what you just said, but when you're mentioning the end of the game's life cycle, very recently on one of my streams, I got like all of the very specific math on like the amount of time in between games. And this whole time, I thought the longest wait for a Smash game was Melee to Brawl. It was actually Brawl to Smash 4 by like
Brawl to Smash 4 was a long time.
It was a few extra months. It's very close. But so basically what I'm getting at is Ultimate to the next game will be the longest.
Yeah. Well, and that time feels offset.
Oh,
we're,
yeah.
We're already a couple months away from like tying that area. And obviously a new Smash game isn't coming out in like less than a year. So
and the new Smash game's coming out tomorrow. Oh,
yeah. Bro, it would have to be something like that.
So. Dude, the podcast is going to go so fucking crazy when the new game comes. Like, it's going to be awesome. Us and Lights Out, it's going to go wild. Yeah, and the reason why that time, Gavin, feels like less is because PM came out in that time, too. Community like, that all settled
for me,
a lot.
There was a couple years where I wasn't even involved, so.
Mm-hmm.
But
PM, like, yeah, we talked about
it. In my head, it was mainly to Brawl this whole time. And it's close. There's a lot of, it's like, it's less than a year for a lot of these things. But Brawl to Wii U specifically is like pretty long because like technically 3DS is a little shorter, but it's similar because 3DS wasn't on its own for that long. I don't even know if it was 4 months on its own.
Nah, it felt pretty packaged together.
It was like a month or two.
I just thought about this. Interesting, I guess, take on it is the Wii was very successful for Nintendo. The Switch was also very successful. So the weight between those, right? It's like Nintendo wants to ride as much, right? They want to ride the momentum off the success of whichever, you know, console.
Wii U wasn't its own thing for that long. In the moment, it may have felt like it, but it was probably the second shortest wait for any Smash game.
Yeah,
yeah. I made
the Melee was like instantaneous. So
around this time for Smash 4, like when we were kind of like, all right, when's the next game going to come out? I made a tracker. I'll have to find it. It's like a Google Sheet or something that automatically updates how long it's been since the last Smash game and how long it was, like how many days it was since, like, you know, Melee to Brawl, Brawl to Smash 4 and all that stuff. I'll have to see if I can find that and update it and see where we're at. That was a good one. But yeah, we're definitely getting there, man. We're getting there.
It's going to be the longest, like, for sure. It's not the longest yet, but it's so close to it. And we have no info on a new console, let alone a game, that it's, like, guaranteed. And it's just wild. It's just wild to think about. Especially because this whole time, I didn't know that the wait for Ultimate or the wait for Smash 4 was the longest. I always thought it was Brawl. Always. I don't know why.
To be fair, too, though, like if you start counting when the day Ultimate came out or the last day Ultimate got support, like the last patch and the last character drop, like
that makes things weird. Yeah,
it's definitely something you got to think about because they view it as they're still dedicating resources and changing the game and shit like that. So it's definitely, I think those are two data points to look out for sure.
Yeah,
but whatever.
Oh, random sidebar. Oh, sure. I got my second Shundo in Pokemon Go, and I didn't even know it.
God, dude, you know the funniest thing? I saw, first off, grats. It's an amazing Shundo. It's a Magnemite.
Yeah,
really good Shundo. You actually, not only didn't notice, but you were complaining so much about GoFest and how much you didn't get anything that was good, which is hilarious.
Okay, I like... Well, I mean, this is a habit I have, but like, I was complaining, but it wasn't that bad. I got a shiny Larvista, and like, I did get what? Like,
insane.
Four birds. Yeah, I got four birds. Three of them were Zapdoses. I wish I got a Moltres. I don't have a Moltres yet, but I got three Galarians. Yeah. Oh,
and
nice.
I need a Zapdos.
Okay, I have three of them. And then actually, I have four total, but I got three during GoFest and then one Articuno during GoFest. So, I mean, honestly, not that bad. I really wanted a shiny bird. And I also was complaining because I got a 98 mighty shiny Electivire. And I was like, dude, are you fucking serious? Like a 98? Like, come on. But I actually just got a Shundo. And honestly, I like the Magnemite as a Shundo more than the Electivire. So I'll take it. And my first Shundo being Beware was also a W. So far, W Shundos.
Yeah, man. Those are good Shundos. I like Magnemite a lot. It's a great Pokemon.
Magnezone is one of my favorite shinies. A lot of people might prefer Magnemite or Magneton.
Magneton, they're
the
whole
about Magnezones is so simple and clean to me. Yeah, I get asked this on stream a lot because I'm always shiny hunting. Like, what are my favorite shinies? And I always list off like at least a few. Magnezone comes up. I don't know why. There's something about that one that catches my eye.
It's clean.
It's like saying Togekiss is your favorite shiny. There's
no, it's a little different than that.
It's on the subtle side, but there is something that is like the eye is a different color. That's a big
deal. Just saying that because you got the Shundo. Come on. They went from gold and black. That's amazing. And they just took that away. Come on.
It is good. They're both. I know I'm weird for like talking about Magnezone more than those two, but I really like it for some reason.
Wait, would you not? Reshiram
is like the best subtle one. Like it's such a good example of a good subtle shiny Reshiram.
I wouldn't even really call it subtle. The gold is crazy. It stands out a lot.
It's such a small part of the Mon.
It's important though.
I would say
I'd say it's less.
It's like Magnezone eyeball.
It's like the red eyes and the gold, like on the small, like whatever. Like it's pretty cool.
The tail, yeah.
So it has. If you got a Shundo Magnemite, would you take it to Magneton and leave it there? Like you wouldn't.
I'd release it. Yeah, I just wouldn't want it anymore. What? It's not worth it.
Oh, interesting.
The shiny is so bad. What? Yeah, just get rid of it.
Why is this the topic?
I don't know. We're just
this is the episode where we talk about Magnemite specifically, and you all have to subscribe.
Wait, Shundos watch this. Video,
okay.
Watch
That's
this.
How you know Gav's been streaming. You have to. Subscribe.
I was like, it's just like Gavin streaming. Which tie it back together. You've been killing it in streaming recently. You restreamed the HBox, the Coinbox Live, and something you're very proud of. 10-hour stream?
10-hour
stream, Steve Sonic, goodness gracious.
Basically.
And something you're proud of is how well you do with live predictions on your when you restream events.
Bro.
I didn't even want to bring it up because like I don't want to jinx you or whatever. I don't think I can. Like Gavin doesn't miss when it comes to he'll start streaming at the first hour of the 10 hours. He goes, this player's going to win this tournament. And then they do. So far, what are you, 4-for-4, 3-for-3?
Wait, I think it's 3-for-3.
I know it's just never been wrong. I thought
I know 100%.
I thought that event would be the one where I'm wrong. Because I'm like seeing Shuton or Shiny Mark, and I'm like, But, so someone asked me, someone said if I get it right, they would donate subs. They did not do that, by the way, when I was right.
But call them out right now.
Call them out, username.
I don't remember the name. It's okay. I got a lot of subs. It's fine. but I was like, oh, can I see everyone play like one more round? Because I usually do it when top eight's decided.
Which is honestly very generous. Like before top eight even starts in your
I let my prediction rip when top eight's decided.
So like you watch top 32 essentially for
I watched a couple hours. Like,
yeah,
then,
before top eight. Yeah.
And then I basically had to predict, or else it would be too close to the finish line. And I'm looking at it. And, like, I just base it off of the matchups, and, like, it's usually one of the players that has the best winner's bracket, honestly. And I saw it was, like, Anin versus Shiny Mark, Syrup versus Shuton, Sonix versus Jawzo, and...
Wrath
versus someone.
Syrup, wasn't it?
No.
Wrath versus, but yeah, that one was the least impactful to me who was going to get first. And I saw Sonix play Brujo into Jawzo, and I was like, that's very key because Sonix is going to heat up. Sonix is going to beat these two players, I think, and heat up. because he wasn't playing super, super up to par for his standards in winners, right? Loses. But I was like, okay, he's going to go on a run. He like always does, like 9 times out of 10, right? Like borderline wins the event regardless of when he loses. But I saw Syrup's bracket and I locked in Syrup because I thought Syrup would beat Shuton. And then I had enough faith that Syrup would win from there, even if he had already lost the shiny mark in winners or in like earlier phase of the like pools or whatever. And I even thought Anand might beat shiny mark. So that's where I like super, super thought Syrup was going to win. And I just locked it in. I was like, all right, it's Syrup. And if it's not Syrup, it's Sonics. And yeah, that was just my logic. Just like those first head to heads. Like I thought Syrup was for sure in top three. So I might as well lock Syrup in from there. Also, I have a lot of like Syrup's just really good. Syrup's from my state. I've played Syrup a lot. You kind of just feel it once you see a couple matches, you read the room, you see the top eight bracket. If you have enough experience, like it's honestly not that hard to predict the outcome. It really isn't. Yeah.
I'd say too, I mean, on the topic of heating up, Syrup had to qualify as well through the last chance qualifier. And it's a bracket that Syrup should win, but it was pretty dominant. Actually dropped the set to Jazzo, so kind of similar shades of that Sonics thing where it's like you lose early, kind of wakes you up a little bit, and then you get to make it into the main bracket and like get both of your lives back, or I guess into the
getting a chance to heat phase, up, but also getting a chance to heat up in favorable matchups as well is very key, I think. Like you get such a good chance to play a couple best of fives versus great players, but in very favorable scenarios. And that's so key, I think, for a bracket. So but yeah, I was, you know, Shiny Mark and Shuton are so good, and there was moments where they're just like one of like very, very good, like one of the best players in the room, if not the best player in the room, depending on the scenario. So I'm like, I think I was like, maybe today's the day I'm finally like wrong, but I just had faith in the initial prediction. But yeah, there was like the smash factor. I did a big one where I said Shiny Mark was going to win. I think there was some tournament where I just picked Light, and it was kind of easy from there.
Oh, then I guess it's four, because you said, I think at that tournament where like Leo washed Zomba, like, and then I think Zomba made it back to him, you said Leo was going to win very early in that. Right? I think that was before top eight.
Yes. I think a lot of the predictions weren't actually during like when top eight was decided. But yeah, I mean, the most importantly, congrats to Syrup. I think that's fantastic. Like, I think he needed that win. He's been getting really close, and it's a big win for him. It's a big win for the region. He's a great young up and coming player. I guess up and coming isn't even the correct title here, but yeah, he's amazing. One of those names to look out for. We're talking about the next Smash game a little bit, right? One of the big ones to look out for the next Smash game, just because of his age and like progress currently in Ultimate. Kind of reminds me of what I'm always saying this about Zomba. Like a lot of these people are from my region. Look out for them for sure. Not just right now, but in the future. But yeah, big congrats to Syrup. Like that was really cool to see for sure.
He was hitting some stuff.
Yeah.
He was doing some nonsensical stuff. I was like,
this game is crazy, bro.
What is going on? And you just can't. My character can't do that.
Shouts to Jackal. That's the Jackal line. What he does is anything happens in Ultimate, he just goes, Wolf can't do that. And you have to be like, well, that's true. Wolf can't do that.
True.
Speaking of Jackal and speaking of characters we play, I'm glad you got a ton of subs, Gavin. We also have a Patreon here for the podcast where today we're going to be talking about who inspired us to play the characters that we play. In Ultimate and in other games,
also whatever it may be,
pointing out character trends in different regions and how that inspired us, which, you know, obviously we'll be talking about quite a bit as we're talking about Syrup and Jackal and all the guys from New Jersey in your area, Gavin, and kind of it's so interesting to see the different metas in different regions and how that impacts like the overall greater meta. So check us out, patreon.com/tweettalks. We'll be
excited for that topic, actually.
Same, because I can't wait to be like, bro, do you know how many version tags you have spawned? There are so many Diddy Kongs that use like version something. Yeah.
Beastly.
True. Yes.
Beastly definitely
version
does.
Version X.
Yeah. So, and we also, something that was fun is we did an episode on the Patreon. It was just me, Charles, and Marcus because Gavin had to go do, I think it was actually vet stuff with your cat, Gavin. Mm-hmm. So the three of us did an episode about growing older in the scene and like how you take on new roles and responsibilities in life and in Smash and the balance of that. And it, actually, it was like 45 or 50 minute episode. So you guys get it was fun though. Yeah, it was a bunch of
we went hard.
Old heads kind of talking about old head stuff. So if you're interested in that, you'd still on the Patreon and yeah, check that out. It was a lot of fun. Not as fun as when Gavin's here, but still, we had a good time.
I kind of liked it a little bit more than Gavin. And the Smash 4 tier list is coming soon. Like probably next week.
Yeah, probably the next one or something like that. But it was definitely a topic that came up. So,
dude, the craziest thing to me about the weekend, outside of Syrup winning, because I think there were a lot of different players who could win, which is why Gavin was saying like it was kind of hard to predict. Like
it was the hardest one for sure.
Yeah, when he said Syrup was gonna win, I was like, bro, I think Shiny Mark might win. Like in my brain, man, I hadn't really been watching it, but I looked at the bracket. But I forgot that he also played, that Syrup played Ness.
When half of the top eight,
yeah,
like four of the eight picks, I think made a lot of sense for first at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's a difficult choice. But yeah, the way the bracket played out, just it wasn't even exactly how I expected outside of the first place prediction. So like I can only give myself so much credit because Sonics went out at fifth. Shutan, that was probably the best set of the top eight was Shutan Sonics. Crazy set.
Insane.
Shutan had a crazy clutch win on one of the earlier games in the set. I think game two where he goes up 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is Sonics was so close to a couple reverse 3-0s. Both of Sonics' losses, he fought tooth and nail, and you can't help but think he's going to win even when he's down so much. That's why like he could be in losers round one of a 3 million man tournament, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to predict this player, but my second choice is Sonic. Like, you know what I mean?
3 million? Like, how many rounds is that? I'm going
to
do the math.
Time to walk in. He just sits down. He's like, all right.
Like, if Sonic
3 million? No big deal.
If Sonic is playing someone in Smash Ultimate, you're going to feel silly for picking the other person most of the time, even if you statistically like should. Like, it just never feels like Sonic should lose. So, like, it was
honestly
tough.
After the Shutan is crazy. Lost.
Huh?
Honestly, after the Shutan loss, he sat down to play Shutan. Hey, that's 0-3 right there, I'm pretty sure.
Dude, you know what I really thought while watching it in real time, especially on stream? That game one was really weird to me because I think he was doing it. He was playing that game one in a way of like, hey, this is someone I'm down 0-2 to in sets. And he started off strong and immediately threw away the lead with some like overextensions he wouldn't do if this was someone he was playing for the first time. I think he wanted to like win, but he wanted to like win.
Yeah.
And I feel that. I feel like we've all done that. But I think the dynamic of the set changed so much because he didn't win that game one and he had a strong start. And you could see like the pacings change because he's like going back and forth between those mindsets, I think. But yeah, it did a lot of damage that to like lose that game one, I think.
Yeah, dude, and it's so rare to say that about Sonics, that his play is affected by the person he's playing against
in
a mentality type of way, right? Like maybe
I think it's what upset me too, because like he usually isn't even in that scenario to begin with. And I think it let it affect him at least enough. Like I could be completely, I might just be bullshitting, but I kind of trust my perspective while I'm watching.
Definitely. I think the only time I ever felt that way watching Sonics play was early on when he couldn't figure out how to beat Light, like years ago when he was trying to figure that out.
Yeah,
it's kind of like Shades. Here, bro. Yeah, right. Well, it's kind of Shades of that for sure. But either
what's
way,
what's the mentality
yeah,
of? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you Chuck, go for it.
It's the mentality of like limit testing, right? Especially if you're a player that's, you know, has a really bad set count against another player, and it could be a matchup thing, it could be a player thing, but at the end of the day, you're trying to figure out why you're losing, right? Are you not pushing advantages enough? Are you not hitting edge guards? Are you playing certain scenarios too safe, right?
Yeah.
So it could be a combination of like the emotional part of it, but also being like, oh, hey, like I'm losing to Light, and every time I hit him, he's not dying at 50 or 80. Like these are scenarios where Fox doesn't necessarily have to die, but like it's the weakness of the character, right? And is it you not abusing the strengths of your character enough? Is it you not abusing your opponent's character's weaknesses enough? So it's a big part of limit testing too.
You can see that push and pull, like whether it's practice or bracket or not. I think every player has to always do that just to study and like learn. Like And I think when you like you said, if it's someone you haven't beaten in a set yet, I think the push and pull gets even more difficult to figure out. And it might be emotionally charged in ways where it wouldn't be otherwise. So yeah, like I definitely could feel myself watching and just being like, damn, like I think if Sonics had no idea who he was up against, I think he would have at least won the first game. I don't want to say like how much the rest of the set would have changed, but I think the first game would have went to him. And obviously like winning a game is winning a game. Like that's a big deal. But yeah, when I watching Shiny Mark 2 and like obviously like Shiny Mark being up in Shuton, that Shiny Mark being up on Syrup that weekend was a big deal. So it was a risk to think Syrup would win. But yeah, sometimes when Shiny Mark is playing, like his risk reward is usually the best in the bracket, at least in Windows. Like he had the best sense of risk reward in that top eight, I think. For sure. Like
especially against certain characters. He like, held the watching
lead. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
He just held the leads the best. Obviously his character is well equipped, but I think he was really good at holding the leads. Like I think a great example of it was actually earlier on when he's playing Lima. Like that set was a really good, because I think those are two strong players in similar ways. And they're just really testing each other's patience, like when they have leads and stuff. And Shiny Mark was just able to continue to do that. And yeah, Shiny Mark plays like you would think he was from a different era of Smash, honestly. You would think he's from Smash 4 or Brawl. Like his risk reward is that good. And he makes you work for it in a way that reminds you of the old days.
yes. And it's just crazy because he's such a young player.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a breath of fresh air. It's not that none of them play like that. But you know, there's lots of different styles, and he definitely plays like an old head, at least a little bit.
Anyone that thinks Pikachu is top five or really broken and has a lot of faith in the character, the reason why they think that is because of how Shiny Mark plays. It is the style of Pikachu Shiny Mark is playing, where it's like timeout Pikachu in a lot of scenarios and stuff like that, right? And it's so fun to watch a player really dive into that and go hard in that, right?
When he has the lead, you can't help but start to think that about Pikachu, because it's like a slow like burn. Like it's just like you're watching Shiny Mark win, and you know if he continues to play well that it's like curtain. So
is Pikachu the best timeout character in the game?
No, Zero Suit on paper, remember Charles?
No. Well,
Pikachu's good, just, but the damage output isn't enough.
The thing about refreshing quick attack on hit is a lot better than like burning down B, getting hit out of it, and then you don't get your down B back. So I think ZSS is, I don't even think ZSS is close when it comes to, if you're comparing Pikachu and ZSS just in terms of running away. One, I think Pikachu is just better at running away and has a better projectile to camp with. And then two, Pikachu gets way more on hit. Like Pikachu is just better in almost every single category.
That was more a joke about on paper ZSS, which is like what we're talking about. Like if you play ZSS perfectly, you never get hit or whatever. But
it's always we want to see from Zero Suit players, but like, it's easier said than done. I'm sure it's frustrating for Zero Suit players to hear.
Yep.
Just like, don't get hit. Yeah.
To people say like, oh, just time them out, when like your like zoning tools do like less than five or something.
Yeah.
Like, all every time you win really neutral.
Pissed off.
Yeah, like, you're every just time you win neutral, you don't do 50.
Just
plus
do damage. Zare the whole game. Like you'll be fine. It's like.
But what if I get hit once?
Yeah.
Just zaps them once. It's like, all right, well, cool. So,
it's definitely like one of those things where like the person suggesting it is right, but they don't have like enough experience and context to like be like 100% right. But like, yeah, Pikachu Sonic, like it's Steve suffocating. Sonic, it's a very slow suffocation. Like you just got to take the L if they play it well.
Have you played Shiny recently?
I played him at, the Luminosity Invitational, I think I lost 3-2.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I think it was 3-2. It was my last
set. The only time you played him?
I think we played online and it went way better for me, but offline I lost 3-2.
Carried by Monkey Flip on Wi-Fi, huh?
Yeah, Diddy's just like such a broken Wi-Fi character. You know? It really does feel like some days, like, I just feel super good against Pikachu, but not every day. The Luminosity one was more recent, like the offline set. He's obviously growing a lot, like every bracket basically. But
because you say other Diddy Kong players don't feel like the matchup's that great, but you actually feel like it's not too bad.
I think
bad,
I'm
right?
the most optimistic about it.
Right.
From day one to now, I think ever since I've been a serious Diddy player, I think I've been the most optimistic. But I've also been optimistic about fighting Diddy Kong with a couple different characters. So I think I just am, which is funny because I have multiple losses to Pikachu. But for some reason, when I'm making a matchup chart or practicing versus the character, I feel fine. Whether it's Shiny Mark or Esam or whatever. Even with Sephiroth, I was like, I could win this. I really thought I could. And like, so people think I'm crazy with whatever, because like Pikachu is such a strong character that they're usually surprised. Because Pikachu is also the type of character that I would heavily respect on a tier list, knowing like all of my opinions. Like, someone in the Twitch chat during the watch party was even like, which top player do you think would have a really good Pikachu if you had to pick one? And I was like, I unironically picked myself, which felt like
I tried to get you. Remember when I tried to get you to play Pikachu when I first started coaching you? Like, it was at like one of the summits, and we went to the side setup, and I was just like, "Bro, please play Pikachu.
Just do it. Just do it.
Yeah, I was like, "Please, just do it, please." And then you played Pikachu for like 10 or 15 minutes, and you're like, "I can't do this." I was like,
"So like, I didn't want to be arrogant, but I unironically thought I was the best pick for like playing a character like that." But yeah, it's an interesting conversation. But yeah, Shiny Mark definitely made me question if Syrup would win or not. And Grand Finals was pretty intense as well. So, like, Shutan's Aegis is very good. So,
when I saw him beat Sonix, he was who I had to win the tournament, even though he was down in losers already. Like, I didn't care. I thought very he was reasonable. Playing amazing.
Like I said, there's like a bunch of picks in that top eight that like no one's gonna like really question you. So,
yeah,
a lot of my chat was saying Shiny Mark. There's a lot of everything. Shiny Mark came up a lot, though, I think, especially because he was still in winners at the time.
Dude, the Syrup Ness against Shiny Mark, great pick, though. Mm-hmm. I still, like, my opinion on Ness versus Pika, and this is a very outdated opinion, is that Ness wins, but I don't know. It's 2024. Obviously, like, Pikachu's played in a very different way. I mean, Ness is not as strong as Ness used to be. Ness is, you know, historically... Year one of any Smash game, Ness is popping. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's still learning the game, but if you have these big lingering hitboxes, that's always a really nice check mark to hit year one of any Smash game. And if you guys don't know, anything that's a really active hitbox that's large is very good against Pikachu Quick Attack specifically, which is Pikachu's main option for mobility. So you have a lot of ways to kind of just stuff out Pikachu. And then Ness Nair out of shield hits really low. So Ness is a character that can have a pretty threatening out of shield game against Pikachu, which is really, really important against Pikachu pancaking and stuff like that. So yeah, I will say in the set, it felt like Shiny Mark wasn't hitting some of the layup edge guards, which is unfortunate, but because that's the only reason why I would think maybe it's not in Ness favor in 2024 is if the Pikachu player base just has optimized like the edge guarding routes for Ness. Obviously Ness extremely limited off stage. So yeah, but it's still a really fun set to watch. Watching Pikachu Ness in 2024 was a blast.
That is cool. Yeah. And Ness in this game, like, obviously has more staying power. I think ultimate is just a more balanced game period than we've ever seen.
Oh, it's his best game for sure. Right.
And he blew up in the beginning just like he did in Smash 4. And I think we all thought he'd have the same downfall. At least I did. We didn't talk quite as much at the beginning of Smash Ultimate, but I thought for sure he'd roughly fall about the same, but especially how many swords are in this game and that are good in this game and how many counters there are and ways to edge guard him and all that shit. But the directional air dodge and the magnet hands, just like, I think they helped him so much, man.
Yeah. Directional air dodge.
I think if you look at it, like if you back up and look at the full picture, technically it's like the same scenario for Ness. I think statistically, like tier list wise, but when you're watching it in action, it doesn't feel like it, which is important, I think.
Well, like Ultimate Ness also has pretty solid win conditions. Like Yo-Yo at ledge obviously did get nerfed, was a bit more, you know, more consistent. I don't know if it was stronger, but it was definitely more consistent. There's also just like futuristic stuff for Ness in terms of just scaling things, like infinite. You can do infinite combos with Magnet and stuff like that. Is it extremely hard to do in like task level stuff? Like almost. It's really, really hard. And then there's even things like you can Magnet, but then I forget what the tech is called, but you Magnet. We did a video on Smash University about it, but like you Magnet and you like fling yourself forward and you can combo it into there. And there's like crazy tech stuff that Ness can do, which gives him kind of late game staying power if you are able to master it. And then just simple things like directional air dodge the ledge, like making the consistent more recovery or the recovery more consistent, and then the things like Yo-Yo, which are consistent win cons against certain types of characters, right, that don't have the greatest recoveries.
Yeah,
because before he was just a straight hit character, right? Like I'm thinking Smash 4, like what did Ness do? He would either cheese you with PKT2 or he would just spam up air and you would eventually die. Like
he was just a down throw simulator.
Yeah.
And then he like straight hit you a couple times. But like also for Pikachu, it's really important that Ness has so many like active moves that also come out quick. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to be as pinpoint at dealing with Pikachu's ridiculousness sometimes, which is pretty good. That you have like multiple of those moves. Usually characters have like one or two moves they'll throw out to try to deal with like quick attack or something. Ness's like generic game plan, I think, can like hit some of those openings, which is good. But yeah, congrats to Syrup once again. But yeah, I think the Sonic Syrup set or the Sonic's Shuton set was like a big one. That was like a really key one for me. And then probably obviously Syrup being able to win against Shiny Mark with Ness is impressive, especially because he lost 3-0 to the Ness earlier in the weekend. So shout outs to sticking with the game plan even after it doesn't work out the first time. He didn't switch to Steve versus Shiny Mark previous or in any of the matches. So
great decision, by the way.
Something we talk about all the time on the podcast isn't just who you beat, but it's about winning the tournament, because I think we all acknowledge how well Shiny Mark was playing that day, and Shuton, and Sonics was playing. He was playing not his best, but like well enough, I'd say, to win that bracket. Onin, they were playing incredibly, I'd say, too. A lot of great wins from Onin, especially a lot of good counterplay to in the Sonic-Steve matchup specifically. So I'd say it was a really tough and a really competitive bracket, and definitely one, I don't think, aside from maybe Gavin on that day, that a lot of people pick Syrup to win. So I think that's incredibly impressive to be able to do that. And like Charles said, I love that the Ness... I think one of the reasons why you see it on Twitter a lot where it's like, oh, he's like a carried Steve player. I think you see that a lot less with Syrup because of the Ness, but the Ness, like he's always had fundies, man. Like Syrup has always been a really, really strong player even before Steve came out. It's far from the first time we've seen someone do really well with the character and then broken DLC comes out. They pick up that broken DLC and now suddenly they're in contention for being one of the best players in North America or in the world or wherever you want to classify Syrup at this point. I'm not even, he's a threat is what I would say. I don't really know how else to say it at that point. But yeah, shouts to Syrup. I think we talk about Syrup a lot on the show too. I mean, obviously Gavin, you're connected with him through New Jersey Smash. You guys play on Wi-Fi together and all that good stuff. So
yeah,
it's definitely been a cool journey to see him go from this nasty Ness to someone who really is doing damage and taking out top players in brackets. So
yeah, Syrup. Zomba and Syrup are frustrating for me because not only do I have to worry about playing them, I'm not playing in region too often, but I play, and whether it's a regional or a local, like I have to consider them, which is obviously expected. But if I travel across the country to a major, it's very likely I play against them as well. So like
you can't escape them, bro.
They're just very dangerous to run into. And I've beat both of them, whether it's in region or out of region. I've lost to both of them, whether it's in region or out of region. So it's tough. It's always those two. They just pop up wherever you go, bro. They just pop up wherever you go. Old, Jackal old head time. Right there too. Like you just can't get away from them, bro. You just can't.
So Gavin, as you're approaching your old head phase of the Smash journey, you're not there yet, but you're approaching.
Yeah.
How does it feel to have those youngins just nipping at your ankles all the time, trying to get a spot? Like
youngins and their DLC, damn it.
I was gonna say they're you, dude. That's what it is. They're you.
Yeah, it's interesting because during Smash 4, like basically going into Ultimate, I show up to a local event and it's like a million faces. I don't know you. You're new. I'm new to like to them. Like I might not even feel like I'm from the region. They might be more used to seeing me at a tournament or like a stream. So it's crazy. I'm definitely fighting for my life sometimes. There's so many new players. A lot of them play DLC. And it's not even just a region thing. It's like just a Smash Ultimate thing where like my ranking is on the line all the time. It's wild. Like a lot of these people, like me and Aquila, like brand new faces to me, and they're like the best of the best. Sonix is like, he was playing a lot, but he wasn't traveling all over the place in Smash 4 or anything. And now he's like these are all people that you expect to be ranked over me every season. Like, what the heck? Where did you come from? back in my day, I was worried about, you know, Leo and Light and like, you know what I mean? Like, it's so much more global too, is the big one. So things are so different, especially with the fact that I'm like more of a character specialist than I used to be. I used to just play what I needed to play to win.
I miss those days, man.
I think next game I'm going to do that. Spoiler alert.
You had a pretty good break game. Ultimate was a break game.
You're like, that's happening to you. That's how you're really becoming a veteran, is you're like, fuck it. Because you're doing it in Yu-Gi-Oh! Too now at this point where you're like, it's cool to really appreciate the lower or mid tier or even high tier things and like them and even play them. But it's time to put on the suit and tie, man. There's no messing around when it's time to come to business. Like,
I think it's very, very likely in the next game I'm suit and tie, at least more so than I am right now.
Nope.
You don't think it'll happen?
No.
I'm too old.
Marcus. No, I think you cared.
I
think you wrap too much of who you are with the characters you play.
It's very deep. Yeah. It's very important for me, but
I just got lucky in freaking Smash 4.
I got so lucky.
You won the lotto in Smash 4. You're like, wow, all these characters I love.
Okay. Everyone loves Cloud. You didn't get that lucky. Okay. All right. Let's call a spade here. Everyone loves Cloud.
I guess the first half of Smash 4.
I was just trying him out because he was mega
unlucky. Junior and Wario, I think. Yeah,
was playing. I was gonna say he also got so unlucky. Junior,
Junior and Wario. Those
characters doing so well. I thought he was fine.
Here's another one, Sephiroth. You did not get that lucky. He's kind of ass. You did not get that lucky.
Well, that's Ultimate.
They nerfed like all of my Ultimate characters.
Yeah. He got lucky in Smash 4.
You could have gotten luckier in Ultimate, that's for sure.
I I'm fine. Diddy Kong is very good.
You could have, it could have been worse, that's for sure.
So I'm surprised you don't think so, Marcus. I actually am like pretty confident I'm like suit and tying it next game.
I can't see you being like, you know what? I see that Zero Suit's the best character in the game. It's time to lock in some Zero Suit.
In Smash, it doesn't have to be like the one option, though. Usually, I at least have like
there's a pool.
Usually, I have at least three.
If it's like, let's say the game has like 30 characters, whatever, and the top seven characters are like Zero Suit, Sheik, Fox, I'm running out of characters that you can't.
Steve.
Game
& Watch. Just go with the current.
Mr. Game & Watch.
Sonic.
Lock in a Pikachu.
I think you could do Pikachu. He could do Pikachu. Mr. Pikachu.
I think you could play Game & Watch. I believe in you.
I'm sure he has the ability to do so.
My take on this topic is he will do it because he's been hurt so many times. So I think Gavin has gone through enough pain that he will lock in a character he does not enjoy playing for the W.
I have faith that it's a middle ground next game for sure.
I don't think so because in this game, Cloud Strife is right there, and you love Cloud and you're not doing it, and he would help you out so much, and you just hate the place that something's like you can't force it with him.
I just don't think it's worth it to fully lock in on Cloud. I have faith that my mindset will change when it's day one of a new game, that I'll lock in on what I need to do.
The Yu-Gi-Oh thing is an indicator, I think, because you used to, and not only in Yu-Gi-Oh, when you choose a new main, that's like a couple hundred bucks at least you got to commit.
No, Gavin is selling the fuck out in Yu-Gi-Oh. That's why I'm saying next Smash game, he is going full on into the darkness. Like, he's plunging into the darkness.
We'll see. Probably. Man.
Yes.
Yeah. No. We don't have to be too specific on Yu-Gi-Oh, but I've been in the darkness for a while.
Yes.
I play to win.
Would you say, Gavin? Well, it's time. Playing Diddy Kong is great. I feel like he taught me how to play the game through a lens. It grew my fundamentals as a player like no other. Practically every win with him, like truly no earned, and I value that a lot. You'll always have your Diddy Kong, but now you're maining the next top tier.
Steve.
Brought to you by a Smashy winner.
Sonic.
Donkey Kong.
Would you play Sonic in the next game? What? No.
See? What? Uh-oh. He already shook his head no.
Sonic has a pretty good track record.
Everyone always says your Sonic would go crazy. Everyone always says that, which might be true.
Honestly,
that shit would be ass.
Yeah, only a true Sonic fan can bring out the potential that is Sonic the Hedgehog.
I actually believe that.
Low key, actually.
Yeah. If you've seen Sonic players at Smash tournaments, like
they love Sonic, bro. They just love Sonic.
Is there a more dedicated fan base of like Smash players and fans of the game?
I don't think so.
No, but Sonic is also giga broken. So usually, or for the last two games, or for like the last 10 years. So
it's gotta be Sonic.
It's pretty easy to
trash him, bro. Sonic. I was going to say, he started off bad too, which like, and he still had a player base in Brawl, and he was bad and boring.
You know how they all say Sonic can't kill? Or they did. They don't get away with saying it anymore. They don't get away with it.
Sonic's killed that very quickly.
They used to say that. They all used.
They did.
Do not let them tell you otherwise. A whole group of Sonic players told me to my face at the same time that Sonic couldn't kill.
Did they use the H word? Did they say he was honest?
No.
Okay, good.
I basically baited them, so I was with B. And
them? Who's them? All of them?
A whole group of Sonic mains watching Wrath play on stream, like years and years ago at a Frostbite.
Did they all have like Sonic gear on and stuff?
Charles and I have talked about this on the podcast, how I've always thought Sonic was like super broken in Ultimate. And I turned to B and I was like, look, I'm going to say something out loud and they're all going to say Sonic can't kill when I ask the question.
It's like a magic trick.
Like, we're behind them and they're all watching in the front. They're all watching in the front like Wrath play. And like I kind of say it out loud as if I'm not like talking at them, but I just go, man, what are Sonic's weaknesses?
And they it can't be you saying it. You need to like pay someone who's not known to say this and just see what the reaction
is. I said this, and they all turned to me and go, he can't kill. And I was like, I fucking knew it. Like, I can't believe they think this. And
spin charge forward.
I honestly don't know where I was going with this. I just wanted to tell that story.
You know,
I was going to say something else, and I just completely forgot.
You know who else got fans is like Fox. He's got crazy fans too. Luigi, especially after this week, he's got a lot of fans. Who else? Mario, they'd be going all out. I'm trying to think, like, people wear stuff at tournaments.
Yeah, I was gonna say another character, but I will not say it.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Will you DM it to me?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so to the Patreon, and I'll reveal what Charles typed to me. good tournament. Shout out to Brujo, New England legend at this point. Kazi and K Rule got a win on Riddles. Yeah,
Brujo's nice. K Rule. I think I've already said this. is so good. It's ridiculous. I love watching it. It's so good.
That's funny, Charles. Yeah,
and I will say, any character that Gavin plays, this is very rare to get praise like this. Like, before seeing Brujo, I wouldn't be surprised if Gavin thinks that he is the best K. Rool.
He still thinks he's
the best.
Don't.
I don't think so.
Yeah, ain't no way. I was gonna. After watching Brew, I was like, "There's no way Gavin thinks he's the best."
Dude, he's so nasty with it.
He's super great. Good,
bro. And you know, I gotta update you on all my favorite players. Jazzo also like continuing the win streak on Riddles. Like, just that's just like a thing. Like, it's kind of ridiculous. So honestly,
it's like getting tougher every time. I feel like.
I know. Riddles is also Terry just got buffed in Street Fighter VI. Like, I know his ass is not playing Smash as much as he should be. Which is fine, but an L is still an L at the end of the day. So, but yeah, I'm happy for him. At least this guy Terry's doing well in Street Fighter VI. So, we're doing better. But I hope Riddle's next tournament he's at, I'll be rooting for him. We'll see what he does. For sure. This was not his tournament.
Gavin, do you think your opinion on Sonic is probably one of the most, or like one of the best Smash opinions you had, that everyone thought you were wrong, but you were right anyway, in like Smash history? Well, beginning early Cloud, right? Early Cloud Smash 4, you always bring that up where you thought the character was strong. And then
it was such a smaller window, though, because like as soon as it was in everyone's face, they're like, oh, okay, this is
it happened pretty quick.
Yeah, that people
everyone...
They were convinced pretty fast.
I think it took like a week of playing or whatever, because a lot of people like, his recovery still sucks. Like, they weren't ready for it, basically. But then it's like, oh, never mind, he's fine. It's all good.
Blue.
Unlimited limit was pretty nice,
Right.
With that a lot.
The hardest thing about Cloud was that untackable stuff. Holy.
Bro, when people knew it.
That was crazy.
They were so good at like checkmating you when they knew.
Sheik and Diddy destroyed Cloud off stage. You could just run off back air. It was like so free, man.
Ramen used to destroy me for hours, bro. He had like seven different untackable setups with Sheik.
It's funny because Fox didn't even have to know or like find untackable setups, because you would just up tilt.
Bro, he would time the he would do grounded up B and time it perfectly every time when I recovered, and like the explosion was obviously like any hits untackable. But he would just do that every game and I'd always lose. Like,
and he's doing it with a laggy ass move too.
And if he wasn't untackable like me, he would get like double down tilt up smash with Sheik. Like, I'm just like, bro. Like,
he's so godlike, dude.
Whether it was bracket or friendlies, like, bro.
Is Ramen the reason why you hate Sheik?
Yes.
I mean, because I'm trying to think of, you've probably grinded the most with Ramen, like, in terms of Sheik players, right?
Yes.
You used to grind a lot with
Ramen. Like, sometimes he'd be in my state and we'd play for a long time. And
good job, Ramen.
Like, he's just a gamer, dude.
And then we lived together for a little bit, too. So, but at that point I was playing Bayo, so GG.
Didn't matter. Yeah, GG. Love that matchup.
I actually didn't.
I did.
Up throw up air, man.
The 50-50s were an infinite window.
Oh, wait. Do you think that was a even matchup, or did you think Sheik won?
It was even. Come on. Ain't no way you thought that was losing.
I think technically Sheik should win.
Yeah, on paper, honestly, Sheik wins on paper, yeah.
I was the same way, bro.
Let's go!
I hate it, bro. But you had Ramen, I had Void, and I just would get hit once and be like, dude, what? Like he had bats within setups, like this frame trap, so you bats, and then you get... I'm like, bro, what is going on? Like, what? Yeah, that up throw up air thing was just...
It's... For me, it was just that, like the lingering 50-50, and like she's, and characters that are grab focused that are also good characters are pretty good versus her. So,
like Sheik, Diddy, Donkey Kong,
not Donkey Kong.
Random side question: do Diddy you guys remember the most?
Bayo. Diddy probably beat Bayo too on paper.
I thought so.
Yeah, I think Diddy beat Bayo. Yeah. Do you guys remember the most tragic bats within you've ever seen in a tournament for Smash 4? I know immediately the one that broke my heart. And I remember this specifically because we're talking about Sheik versus Bayo. Void was going to win his first major against Salem, and he hit like a nair to Bouncing Fish, and then the fucking Bouncing Fish got batsed, and he lost. And this was before he won Smash and Splash, which was then after his
knowledge check. You should have known better. Come on, boy.
Dude, I just remember
you were asking me bats within that didn't benefit the Mayo.
Oh, that fucked like, you over. Oh,
I was did anyone care when that happened?
Like, I forgot. I'm in a call full of fucking Bayonettas. Like, you guys are thinking like, oh man, which?
I mean, I couldn't think of.
Oh no, it's definitely the way you said it.
I couldn't think of an answer to that question either way. But
no, me neither. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Damn. That does suck.
That is just actually
brain. Was it on Smashville?
I believe it was on Final Destination.
Oh, then I don't remember that shit.
But yeah, I just remember watching it live and I was like standing up. I was like so hype. And then the bats happened. I literally just dropped down to my knees. I was like, no. Such a dramatic viewer, dude.
Good move.
But I think Sheik, Diddy, Sonic like should do really well. Versus
Bayo. Sonic definitely beat Bayo, but like Sonic players SDI was trash.
Don't say that, though. They're gonna get tight.
I'm gonna keep it a buck, bro. Sonic players in Smash 4 probably had the worst Smash DI. Like, it was horrendous. Sometimes I thought when I watched Sonic players, I'm like, are you SDIing in a perfect way to help the Bayonetta? Like, I have the question.
Are you trying to get sympathy? Is this like a strategy?
No, I have no sympathy.
No
for
Sonic
Bayo
player getting no sympathy from anyone.
Sonic and Bayo, no sympathy from me.
None.
Sonic and Bayo are the type of characters. If I'm playing you in tournament and you SD, I like pop off. I'm like, yes. Like, I'm so glad something horrible happened to you. Thank you. Yes. Only those characters, though.
Yeah. Well, I guess that was Coinbox IRL.
We just talked about Smash 4. Like,
I streamed like a million other random fucking things.
I streamed it for 10 hours.
Yeah, if you want his thoughts on Coinbox, there's a well-documented VOD out there you can check out.
And if you've never seen Gavin stream on Twitch, where can they find you, Gavin?
Twitch.tv/TweakSSB.
There you go. Bam.
Please subscribe. I'm back to streaming every single day. I have not streamed today when I record this. I'm going to have to figure that out. we have Pokemon cards for the Patreon, actually.
Oh,
I don't know if we'll do that, but we're gonna get into Patreon content.
Can we do one pack?
We can do at least one pack.
Yes. We're gonna box openings would go hard on Patreon.
We have a really cool topic on the Patreon, so thank you. Have a good one. Peace out.